If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 15. We come to the last words of Paul in his letter to the Roman Christians. And there's something that I think you will see about Paul, a passion that he has in these last words, and it's this. Paul had a passion for people, particularly people who did not know Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to ask you a very personal question. How important is it to you that the people around you come to know the Lord Jesus? Do you have a passion for people who are lost? If these were your last days, would you express a zeal to see others come to know Jesus? In a moment, we're going to read our text. And from the text, I want to show you four marks of a person who has a passion for the lost. And my prayer is that before you leave the worship service this morning, you'll examine your heart, I'll examine mine. And if the passion is not there, God will place it by His Spirit upon our hearts, and each of us will leave with a zeal to see people come to know Christ. Let's stand together as we begin reading Romans chapter 15 and verse 17. Paul says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Thank you. You may be seated. How can we know whether or not we have a passion for people who don't know Christ? In the text, I see four marks. First, people who really want to see lost sinners come to saving faith in Christ get really excited about people coming to faith in Christ. This is what Paul says in the first two verses of our text. Verse 17, I glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Now he's referring to the previous verse, verse 16, where he says, the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. What Paul is saying is this, I have made it my purpose to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Gentiles. They have come to faith in Christ. Now they are an offering acceptable unto God. And that is what I glory in. Remember, I showed you last week that Paul is alluding to Old Testament sacrifices when he calls the Gentiles an offering that is acceptable. How does an offering in the Old Testament become acceptable to God? Well, a lamb had to be without blemish, no spot, no scar, no sore, no broken bone. It had to be literally perfect upon examination. What Paul is saying is simply this. When these Gentiles that I've shared the gospel with came to faith in Jesus Christ, they became acceptable unto God. Why? Because they received a righteousness that was not their own, a goodness that was not theirs inherently. All religions will tell you that you've got to be good in order to be acceptable to God. Even denominations that call themselves Christian point you to that which you do in order to become acceptable by God. The gospel is not that way. The gospel, which comes from God, is the good news that you and I, as sinners, become acceptable by leaning on Christ, by trusting Him, and as a result, receiving a righteousness that comes from God, that is independent of our performance, and is received by faith in Christ. This is what the Gentiles who heard the gospel from Paul believed. And they became acceptable. And Paul says, I glory in this. I'm excited about it. When's the last time you got excited about somebody coming to faith in Christ? Paul says in verse 18, I dare not speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought. In other words, I don't want to talk about anything else but people like the Gentiles coming to know Christ. Paul got excited about that. He was a tent maker, a poet, a scholar, a lawyer. But people coming to know Christ was his great love. In fact, he said to the church at Corinth, I desire to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Paul says, this is what I glory in. This is what pushes my button. This is what gets me pumped up. I get excited. I glory in people coming to know Christ. But the second mark of a person who has a passion for lost people is this. He does not compartmentalize his life. It's all about Christ. This is what Paul says in verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What Paul is saying is simply this. I didn't start out preaching the gospel in Jerusalem and just preached it at my home church and stopped there. No, everywhere I went, including to Illyricum, I preached fully the gospel of Jesus Christ. The map that is on the screen is a map of Illyricum. It's just to the east of Italy, to the west of Greece. It is what we know as Serbia or Albania. Paul went to this country and preached the gospel. He didn't just preach the good news in Jerusalem. He traveled the sea, went across foreign lands, and he preached the gospel fully there as well. You know what I think this says to us? Paul, who had a passion for people to come to know Christ, is an example that if you want that kind of passion, you just can't talk about Jesus at church and leave Him there. People who are passionate about others coming to know Christ will talk about Christ at work, will take Christ to school. Everywhere Paul went and everywhere you and I go, we will take Christ and fully proclaim the gospel. When's the last time you had a good discussion about Jesus over lunch at work? When's the last time at the lake you talked about Christ and what it meant to trust Him? You see, Jesus is not just about church on Sunday. He's about work on Monday, the reunion on Thursday, the lake on Friday, the ball game on Saturday. When people get a passion for those who know not Christ, they talk about Him wherever they are. The third mark of a person who is passionate about people who do not know Christ is that he has friends who are not Christians, but they know that He is one. This is what Paul says in verse 20 when he says, I have strived to preach the gospel where Christ is not named. Boy, you ought to underline or highlight that little phrase. I have strived to preach the gospel where Christ was not named. Paul intentionally sought out people who were completely unfamiliar with the good news of a righteousness that comes from God and is found by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. He sought these people out in order to proclaim Christ, to make known the Lord Jesus Christ. He went after friends who were not Christian, and he was never ashamed to talk about His Lord. Folks, you don't have to go far to find people like that. You don't have to go far to make friends with people who name not Christ. Chuck Barger and his family consider me their pastor. I got to know Chuck in an unusual way. Chuck owned Chuck's Place, the bar just south of our property. And when I first came many years ago, I would go into Chuck's Place and I would make acquaintances with the people who were there, order a Diet Coke, just sit and visit. Had a remarkable conversation with one of the waitresses there about a bird that had been trapped in one of the windows at Chuck's Place. And the conversation led to people being trapped in their own lives. I never told people who I was. Never told Chuck who I was. Many of you know that Chuck's Place has had a reputation throughout the decades. A reputation of people going in and making bets and meeting their bookmakers there. The federal government has shut it down on a couple of different places. And I would just go there and just seek to make friends. And eventually made a friend of Chuck. Chuck Barger. When Chuck found out who I was after a time, he was shocked. He could not believe the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church would come into his place and sit and visit with people in his bar. When Chuck's wife died, I was the one he called. When Chuck decided it was time for him to sell his business, he called us and said he'd rather have that place be used for God than for a bar. We bought it. Now it's the Grace Place. When Chuck had a stroke and almost died and was in ICU in Oklahoma City, his daughter called me and said that Chuck had asked that I come. And there beside the bedside of Chuck Barger, I shared Jesus Christ with this dying man. I told him about the Lord Jesus, how He had come for sinners like us. I told him that Christ had lived the life that I should have lived, that Chuck should have lived, that He died the death that we should have died, forsaken and abandoned by His Father in our place. That by simply trusting Him and what He has done for sinners like us, we receive His righteousness, His goodness, and we are acceptable to God because we've embraced His Son. I would never have had the opportunity nor the privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with Chuck Barger unless I had first become friends with Chuck. One of the reasons I tell you that story is because I think it's important for each of us to ask ourselves this question. And I've asked myself this question again today. How many friends do we have that do not name the name of Christ, that call us true friends and know that we stand for something that they don't stand for, that we know somebody that they don't know, and they're not put off by it. They're fascinated by it. How many friends do you have like that? Young people? It's all right to have friends that like to party and do drugs and have different values than you do. But God forbid that you join in on it. And may God, by His grace, give you a heart of love and compassion for them to see that they're just empty people. And they need a friend who, when they're in trouble, they can pick up the phone and say, "Hey, can you help me?" People who have a passion for the lost, make friends of those who do not know Christ. And this is exactly what Paul was saying. I have strived to preach the gospel where Christ is not named. Oh, but there's a fourth mark of a person who has a passion for people who do not know Christ, and it's this. He never dismisses a person as beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. Many of you know the story of my grandfather, who was an alcoholic until just a few months before he died. It was then that he came to faith in Jesus Christ. For years, my grandmother had prayed for him. For years, my father and my uncle, his two sons, had prayed for him. For years, his daughter, a missionary to Chile, had prayed for him. It seemed for a while as if he would never come to faith in Jesus Christ. But his family never gave up on him, never ceased praying for him. This is what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 15 and verse 21, where he quotes from Isaiah the prophet, from Isaiah 52 and verse 15, where he says, "As it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." In other words, God is in the business of revealing Himself to people who have not seen the beauty of Jesus Christ, and of opening the ears of people who have not really heard the message of Jesus Christ. Don't ever give up. Some of you have a husband who has mocked you for your faith in Christ for years. Well, maybe not openly or verbally, but very subtly. He wants nothing to do with your religion. You've wondered in your own mind, will he ever come to know Christ? You've prayed for him. You've loved him. You've shared Christ with him. But you've given up. Don't give up. Others of you have a mom or a dad. You grew up in a home where Christ was not named, and now you're an adult with children of your own, and you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you've seen the beauty of knowing Christ and the freedom of resting in Him. And you've had a burden in the past for your mom or your dad, but you've given up. Don't give up. The Apostle Paul says, God is in the business of opening the eyes of those who have not seen and the ears of those who have not heard. And Paul says, I've gone to Illyricum and I have fully preached the gospel because in that country there are people who have not seen Christ, people who have not heard of Christ. And I have gone because God is in the business of opening their ears and opening their eyes. And I've got a passion for these people. Folks, don't give up. You got a brother, a sister. How often do you pray for them? When's the last time you sent a nice letter, just letting them know that you love them and you're concerned for their soul? I guarantee you the Holy Spirit has a way of taking the words of His people and using them like arrows to penetrate the heart. And when you are sensitive to the Spirit's leadership, and through prayer and love, you say the right word, God will ensure that it's the right time. And you will find that the Word of God spoken in season from the heart of a child of God will penetrate the soul of a person who does not know Christ. And the Spirit and the Word will bring about a conversion in the heart. Do you have a passion for the lost? I would love nothing more than for our church to have this passion. I realize that I have to model it. I realize that it comes from me. I realize that this is something for me. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm proclaiming the truth to me. But I would love nothing more than for our prayer times during Sunday school and our prayer times during church to be about prayers for people who are blind to the beauty of Christ, whose hearts are closed to the doctrines of Christ. I would love nothing more than for us to pray for a husband or for a son or for a mother or for a father or for a neighbor or for a coworker that their soul might be touched by Christ. Nothing wrong with praying for physical healing. That's good. Oh, but there is so much more than just the touch of God's merciful hand in healing the physical body. All of us will one day die. But the souls of those who do not know Christ will one day be judged. Never dismiss a person as beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. Because God is in the business of changing lives by the power of His sovereign grace. And as the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 52, verse 15, and Paul repeats in Romans 15 and verse 21, those who have not seen shall see, and those who have not heard shall hear. Had a young man after the early service who came up with tears in his eyes. His dad's an alcoholic. The family's getting mad at him. He's selling all of his possessions, turning against the family. And this young man with tears in his eyes said, I know that what my dad needs is Jesus Christ. And here at the front of this auditorium, this young man and I prayed for his dad. Folks, if we ever had a passion for the lost, that every day that we live, God brings to our hearts the names of people who need Christ. And we were busy about praying for their souls. There is no telling what God would do in our midst. But we have become so earthly minded. It's all about the tangible and the physical. All about what we see and taste and touch. And again, there are those times when we need those things, and those are important things, I understand, but they're not the most important. Paul says, I get really excited about people coming to faith in Christ. Everywhere I go, I fully proclaim the gospel. I've made friends of people who do not know Christ, and I never dismiss anyone as being beyond his reach. The final thing that he says in our text is this. People who have a passion for those without Christ are sometimes inconvenienced for the cause of sharing Christ. That's found there in verse 22, where the Apostle Paul says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul had every intention of going to Rome to visit the church there. But God had laid a burden on his heart for the people at Illyricum. As a result, he went to this country and he made friends with people who had never heard of Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, as a result of my passion for these people, I have been hindered from coming to you. Folks, when is the last time you and I have been inconvenienced for the cause of sharing Christ? When's the last time you gave up some vacation money because you wanted to go on a mission trip to Africa or send somebody else from our church to Niger? When's the last time you sacrificed financially for the cause, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be shared? When's the last time you were inconvenienced personally? When's the last time you felt that small blush creep to your cheeks as you were talking with somebody and you found it very natural to just ask them about Christ? And you were embarrassed at their response. When is the last time you sat in your hairdresser's chair and the conversation came around to eternal things and you spoke the name of Christ and you shared the gospel? When's the last time you were inconvenienced and your comfort level was sacrificed because you had a passion for people who don't know Christ? You say, preacher, there's no way. You look at my life, my gracious me. I've made so many mistakes. I've been divorced, remarried. I've had an abortion. Preacher, you don't know me. I've battled with things all my life. Oh no. I can't share the gospel because I'm a hypocrite when I do. Oh, folks, when are we going to learn? When are we going to learn? John R.W. Stott said it best when he said this: testimony is not a synonym for autobiography. When we are truly witnessing, we are not talking about ourselves, but about Christ. Do you have a passion for people who do not know Christ? From this text, there are five indicators. When we get really excited about people coming to faith in Christ, when we don't have church life, work life, family life, and compartmentalize our lives, but it's all about Christ. It's Christ on Sunday, Christ on Monday, Christ on Tuesday, throughout the week, it's all about Christ. When we have many friends who don't know Christ, but they know we do. When we never dismiss a person as beyond the reach of God's sovereign grace. And when we are sometimes, if not often, inconvenienced for the cause of sharing Christ, we have a passion for people without Christ. My prayer is that you and I might have this passion for the lost. May it begin in your heart. It only takes one. Only one heart. My prayer is that it's my heart. But I also pray that you might pray that it be your heart. May God give you a passion for the lost.